You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Last year we had a delightful morning with the graduation, and we heard some great stories and some great, the way that God works in the lives of people. And I don't want to go too much into Teen Challenge, but it was founded in 1958 through the work of Dave Wilkerson. For men and women, but particularly men who are struggling with lots of addictions and lots of different things in their lives. And I know that there's been many lives changed over many countries across our earth through the work of Teen Challenge. And so our Victorian base is in Kyabram, and Neil Meyer is the director of Teen Challenge. And so without any further ado, I'm going to welcome Neil up. And let's welcome Neil as he comes to share this morning, and we get to share in this.
Thank you very much. Good morning, church. So it's a real honour to be here this morning. I'm just going to do this first. Now, could I just get Jono that slide up, please? This is the a very interesting time of remembrance for me in my life, particularly 40 years ago. On the 4th of December 1974, I walked into this church when it was at Ringwood. I met with a pastor there, having just not long before that, about this time 40 years ago, been arrested for trafficking and possession of drugs, and I walked into that to that church as a heroin addict and facing 10 years in prison. And after having been in a rehabilitation centre and crying out to God in that rehabilitation centre, and said, "If you're real, God, then you show up for me. I'll give you the rest of my life." A few days later, I found myself with my sister walking into the doors of this church in Ringwood. And one of the pastors there asked me, did I want to give my life to Jesus? And I said, yes. And he prayed with me, and I committed my life to Jesus and started attending that church. After a couple of weeks, there was an evening service there. There was a lady there preaching. Her name was Jean Dunnell. And when she came out to speak, she said she had a vision in her mind before she came out of a hand coming out of heaven. And we found a photograph just like that, a hand coming out of heaven, reaching into a big black hole, and that black hole was the drug scene. She said, there's somebody in this room, and if you give your life to the Lord, he's going to use you to reach into that pit. And she said she saw a picture of a hand pulling out that person that has the hands connected, and a whole chain of people coming out of that pit called the drug scene. And I went forward for prayer that night, and I had a really good idea. I thought I should go to Bible college, except I was facing 10 years prison. And so I went and spoke to one of the pastors, and they agreed that if I didn't go to prison, that I could come to Bible college, which I thought was a good deal. The short story is we went to court. My brother came and appeared with me, and he stood before the magistrate and held up a Bible when he swore his oath, and he said that the court upholds the word of God as being the standard of truth that I swear my oath on, so therefore the court must listen to that, to the word of God. And it says in the word of God that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And he said, that's what's happened to Neil, and he wants to go to Bible college. And the magistrate said, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. So I had an incredible encounter with the grace of God there. But I also want to mention too that I had an incredible encounter with the grace of God in that Hal Oxley let me come. Because that was not a Bible college that was set up or a rehabilitation centre. It was a Bible college set up to train people to do ministerial work. And when I got to that Bible college, I felt like I wished I'd gone to prison. Because prison would have been easier. Because I got confronted with myself in prison, I wouldn't have had to be confronted with who I was and what my issues were. And facing the issues of your heart when they're ugly is not an easy thing to do. And what we're going to hear some stories of some young men that have actually been part of that chain. Because here we are now, 40 years later, that prophetic dream that lady had over my life has come true. And we've literally seen hundreds of young men in the time that I've been involved with Teen Challenge be pulled out of that pit. And we're going to celebrate some of those lives here this morning. And so I want to thank you, sir, for saying yes. But sometimes I stop and I think, where would my life have gone if the answer had been no? Because I don't know, because Teen Challenge didn't exist then. It was just beginning to form. There was nowhere else to go except I had the hand of grace reached into my life and had a massive impact. I'm just going to read something to you. I'm going to read Psalm 103. Bear with me, I'm going to read the whole psalm. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, with my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, he heals my diseases, and he ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly, and he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to get angry and full of unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He has not punished us for all of our sins, nor does he deal with us as we deserve. If I had have been dealt with as I had have deserved for the things that I had done, I would have gone to prison for 10 years. But the grace of God reached into my life. He says he has removed our rebellious acts as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him, for he understands how weak we are, and he knows we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers we bloom and die. The wind blows and we're gone, as though we'd never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever and with those who fear him. And his salvation extends to the children's children. I'm going to read one more psalm, Psalm 113. It says, yes, give praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever. Everywhere, from the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord. For the Lord is high above the nations. His glory is far greater than the heavens. Who can be compared with the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high? For far below him are the heavens and the earth. And he stoops to look, and he lifts the poor from the dirt and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes, even the princes of his own people. And he gives the barren woman a home, so that she becomes a happy mother. God is interested in people's lives. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care where you come from. He just cares. He cares about people. He cares about you. He cares about what's going on in your life. He cares about broken people. And we live in a society where there's not a lot of care in a lot of places to find that. And a lot of people that come to Teen Challenge would be the kind of people that ordinarily would get thrown on the garbage dump. When Marcy and I spent a year in Florida doing an internship at a large program, and there was a wall full of photographs there with a big sign on it, Jewels from the Devil's Junk Pile. Because the world will throw people aside that God loves and cares about. And he stooped down to look through the heart of a man called David Wilkerson, who had a burden on his heart to reach young men and women whose lives were trashed and whose lives were broken. Right now, there are over 1,100 centres in over 100 countries around the world with 30,000 rehabilitation beds open because of one man's obedience. He felt challenged to stop watching television and pray. On the 19th day of praying, he was reading Time magazine, and he was reading about a story about how the seven young men were being convicted of murder for murdering a young handicapped boy, and he felt compelled to go to New York and do something to help them. And he had a breakthrough in an outreach with those young men, and that was the birth of Teen Challenge. We have a centre here in Victoria, one of those 1,100 centres, and God continues to work. There are 30 countries in the world right now that are asking Teen Challenge centres to be set up because they can see and they know that they need it in their countries to be able to reach out and reach people's broken lives, reach addicted people. We have the pleasure of hosting the Asia-Pacific Conference for Teen Challenge in Muralbark this year, in February next year. We're going to have people coming from all over Asia and some of the leaders from America. So if you wanted to know more about that, we could put you in touch with that. But Teen Challenge is a vibrant work, growing work, a thriving work, and it's part of this promise that God says he will look, he cares. He wants to pick people up from the garbage dump. He is so amazing, he can make barren women have children. What does that talk about? It talks about people becoming fruitful. It says in John 15 that that his goal for us in our lives is to be fruitful. If you had looked at me when I walked in the doors of Christian Revival Crusade 40 years ago, you would have not thought there was going to be much fruit connected with that. But by the grace of God, and because of the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God interacting with faith in a life, it's the most powerful thing on the planet to bring change. I'm going to hand over to one of our staff members, Pastor Jim. Jim's been with us now for a year or so, and he's going to lead us through the rest of the morning. We're going to hear some amazing stories of God reaching down and stooping down and looking and caring and picking people up out of the garbage dump. And I know that some of these men are going to go ahead and do some wonderful things because of the grace that's appeared in their life. So thank you, Jim.
Thank you. So my name is Jim Stevens, and I'm the program manager. So I look after the day-to-day running of the program. And when the guys first arrive into the program, they start a phase called Phase 3. And the very first thing that they start is called orientation. This is a 30-day program where we strip everything away from them. There's no contact with family at all for the first 30 days. It's just them looking at themselves and going through and looking at how their addictions have had an effect on them physically and mentally, emotionally, how it's affected their families. In their recovery, about 5 weeks in, what the mind will do to them, and we equip them to be prepared for some of the things that they can expect, because things like come up that once they've become a bit more clear-minded, they begin to think, well, I'm okay, everything's good now, I've got myself together, and they think that they're fine and they can go back out into society, and we prepare them for that, although that mind plays those thoughts in their head, that's not true at all, and they'll fall very quickly, and so that lasts for 30 days, and then they move into contracts 1 and 2. And so this is where their mentor will give them some work to do, and the contracts 1 and 2 related to a theme around just having a relationship with God and looking at self-image, because we want to create a solid foundation for them to build on before they look at the rest of, some of the things, issues in their life. And so we focus very much on a relationship with God and self-image, because we know how important it is to our faith who we are in Christ. How fundamental that is, and when we dissect that, what that actually means, who we are in Christ, and we embed that into their hearts to create that solid foundation with their relationship. So in the contracts, their mentor will give them some work, a book to read like Floyd McLung's, Father, Heart of God, or Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind. They will be given a scripture to memorize like Romans 8:38. They'll be given some individual lessons, and then they get given these things called character qualities. Things like where they look at humility, patience, tolerance, and all these great words, great character qualities that we need to embed into our own lives. And so they take 6 weeks. And then at the end of 16 weeks, the student then can not only say that that they are substance free, but they can say that they know that they are loved by God, that they can see a hope, that they know that there is a future and there's purpose to life. And it's very exciting to see them finish that phase to establish then and there within them that they know that they are loved by God and they can continue on the rest of their recovery. And so I just want to ask Jake, he's someone that's completed phase 3, to come up with his mum and his dad. They're going to come and just share the changes that they've seen in Jake's life as he has done phase 3.
I'm trying hard not to drop the mic, Peppy, okay? we started our journey with Teen Challenge in February after a 4-year struggle with our son on drugs. And we saw our beautiful 15-year-old turn from a confident, beautiful young man into somebody who was shattered. He had no self-confidence. He was angry at the world and anybody. And he didn't know how to fix it. And we struggled for 4 years trying to find a way to fix it. And John and I went through hell because we felt so hopeless. And we did not have any means to help our son. He had to do it on his own. In February this year, we got Jake into Teen Challenge. And as I drove him out there, I thought, he's not going to last 3 days. Yet, he's been there 9 months. And during the 4 years we didn't have him around, our relationship was stripped away by the drugs in his system. Teen Challenge asked Jake when I first got him in there that day, what do you want from this program? And Jake had quite an attitude at that stage. But he did say he wanted Jake back. Teen Challenge has not only just given us Jake back, they've given us a young man that we never thought we'd see. And we're so proud of him. He is blossoming into somebody that we couldn't even hope for. And I know that Jake has found Jake, but he's found more than Jake. He's found a reason to keep going. He's found a future. And we can't thank Team Challenge enough. But not only has our relationship with Jake completely changed because we have rebuilt that, but Team Challenge has changed life for us. And John's going to tell you about that.
Well, first of all, this turned us into a couple of big sooks. We never used to cry like this when Jake was on drugs. Seriously, we didn't. We had to be tough. And seeing the transformation in Jake and seeing our beautiful son as he is now brings tears to my eyes. Every time I see him. But Teen Challenge and the journey that Jake has been through has changed us as well. I would not wish a drug addiction on any family ever. But the people that we've got to know through Teen Challenge, we meet beautiful men every day when we go. We get excited about going to visit Teen Challenge because we get to hear their stories. We get to see the smile on Luke's face when his little girl turns up on visit day. I'll never forget, Daniel's not with us today, and Daniel is graduating today. Is that right, Jim? Yes. Daniel's not with us today, but honestly, the best Father's Day I ever had in my life was this year when I woke up and knew that Daniel was spending Father's Day with his children in Melbourne and he had beaten his addiction. Now, Daniel's in Tasmania with his children today, visiting his family. And that is just sensational. And that is the kick that we get out of Teen Challenge. I spoke to Stephen yesterday, who's about to finish, you know, and he's going home and he's going to a new life and he has no great expectations other than the expectations he has of himself. I don't know what else I can say, but we have got so much out of being part of Teen Challenge, and we've got our beautiful son back, and he's going to go on to do great things. I'm sure of that. Thanks, Jim. Thank you.
Pleasure. Jake, if you just come back, because I've got a certificate for you. So phase three is quite an intense time, and I always encourage the guys to hang in there and to continue on, because it's all worth it. There is a reason, and the fruit of it that you've just heard, it's all worth it to get to that stage. So congratulations, Jake, on completing phase three. You're a beautiful man. And so we're just going to get the other graduates up. We're going to get the other graduates up who have also completed phase three. Thank you very much. Dean Bushman, are you here, Dean?
No.
Nope.
Dean sends his apologies. He's broken down on the freeway from Geelong. So.
Heinz Armin. Shady Amro. Shady Amro. Is he not here? No. He might be broken down too.
I hope not. He's sharing.
Paul Simpson. Come on down. Tristan Denger? Oh, no, sorry. Tristan Paredes. Sorry, Tristan. Wrong Tristan. Tristan Paredes. Hey! Yeah, congratulations. Thank you. Luke Russell. Simon Wood.
Simon, he wasn't sure he was going to make it today.
David Newman. No. He's not here either. Glenn Wilson. Michael. Raphael.
Thanks, man.
Shake your hand. And Kevin Fogarty. Is that it?
All right, so we did have a few men that weren't here, but it's with the process of dividing our program last year, we talked about that briefly, I don't know if you remember, into phases, which was a structure that Teen Challenge does have globally that they started about 25 years ago. Men can actually opt out at the end of phase three as a graduate, and they don't have to go into the next phase four, which is the training phase, but to complete the program and be a graduate of the Grace Academy program at Teen Challenge, you do have to complete both phases, and you also have to have a time limit after the program in which you've actually lived clean and sober. So some of the men today will graduate because they're doing great, but they actually haven't had enough time since they finished phase four. And some of the men that weren't here in phase three, one of them went out and got married. He's doing great. Another guy, like Tristan, is gone back home with his family. And, you know, there's other guys that have gone back to their families as well. So it's not always a bad thing, but it isn't actually for everyone. You know, I definitely know I needed to continue and do both phases because my wife said if I would have come home, she would have divorced me at that stage. So I'm glad I stayed and finished the program. But we're going to – my name is David Hunter, by the way. I didn't mean to be rude there. But I'm the center manager at Teen Challenge at the Grace Academy in Cuyahoga. I oversee the operations of the program. And I just want to ask with our phase four guys that have finished phase four – there are some guys that aren't going to be able to be here today, like Dan was mentioned earlier, Dan Berkery, and he sends his apologies, but he got an opportunity to see his kids and spend time with them, which hasn't been possible for a long time, and so he's gone to Tasmania to do that, and we love him, and I'm sure when the time passes for him to actually graduate, he'll graduate as well from the entire program. So with the phase four guys, I think we'll just go right through them, Jim, if you don't mind. So some of these guys will also graduate. Just so you know, you'll see a few faces more than once. Heinz Armin. I won't say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'll say you can't teach an old lion new tricks. Huh? God bless, mate. Pepe Gruda. Thanks, brother. We love you. Let's go. Murray Sibison. With the leap there. Nice. Excellent. Mark Cornell. Thanks, man. So phase four is a big thing. You can imagine when you finish phase three, if you know you can leave and you don't, it's very difficult to make that decision to cross the line. And these guys have done that. And instead of having two contracts in phase three, which are standardized, now they get four contracts, which are custom built by their mentors to really dig in to the soul stuff that they got to deal with. And it can be incredibly difficult and brutal to really process some of that pain and abuse and trauma from the past. So completing phase four, as well as, you know, stepping from three to four is a huge, huge thing. So I just want to continue to honor these guys. Bryce Kelly.
Thank you.
All right. So with that said, now we come to the best part, the guys that have not just finished phase three and four, but have actually finished and remained clean and sober. And that is a big challenge, reentry. And I know it was for me when I went back to my family. You know, I'd been married for almost 12 years. I'd never been sober a day of our marriage. And I had four kids. I didn't know how to be a father, didn't know how to be a husband. It was really, really very difficult to face a day without being high first. You know, that would be the first thing I'd do. Go to the shed, smoke some dope, you know, get drunk, come in the house and make breakfast for the kids all happy. Without that, I was just like, who are these evil beings, you know, in the house? But I learned it was actually me. So, these guys, they've actually worked really hard. They've stayed clean and sober. They've dealt with the difficulties of reentry into a new world. It is a totally different environment being sober when you've been not sober for a very long time. And some of these people, they've got a lot of work to do because they've really damaged relationships with their families. And I'd just like Debbie Hunt to come up, and she's going to share a little bit about her time with her son, Matthew. Matthew, would you like to come up as well? And take your medicine.
Sorry, I've got this great big. It looks big, but it's not all that.
You can put that right. You can put it up there if you want. Just a hole.
Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie.
Good morning. As a mother, we have unconditional love for our children. And in a way, it makes us blind to the reality around us sometimes. You know how it goes? No, not my son. That's how I was, and it really didn't hit home until I realised I got a phone call demanding money for Matt's safe return, how deep he had actually fallen. The feeling of guilt not seeing it happen is something that I had to deal with. Matthew's addiction turned our family's life upside down. We lived in fear, not only for our safety, but for his. Relationships were tested and some were broken. Trust was destroyed. I said, Lord, I know you said you'd only give us as much as I can handle. Well, I think I'm here. Thanks to God's grace and Matt's sister Emma, we found his way to Teen Challenge, and the rest is now history. So here we are today. Relationships are healing, trust is returning, faith restored and strengthened, new friendships made. I'm so proud of Matt. Where Matt has come, and look forward with pride. I'm sorry. Where God has got in, what God has got in store for him in the future. Thanks to TC and the team, and especially to Tony for his patience and guidance. I have my not so little Matt back.
Thank you, Debbie. We appreciate that. Matt, would you like to share a bit?
Thanks. How are we all? Going back probably 2 or 3 years, like 2 and a bit years, sort of the first time I showed up at Teen Challenge, believe it or not, I was healed after a week and thought I could go home. And it was just, I was quite delusional and all sorts of things. Mostly I was just deceiving myself. I went home, and that Christmas after, I had some sort of good counsel from family members that are here today, and they're just trying to encourage me to go back and stuff. I'm like, no, I'm healed. I'm all right. And then I just kept getting summonses and all sorts of things, court appearances, and had my barrister say, look, you've got to do something or your stuff. You're going to jail. And it's like, that sort of, I didn't particularly want to go to jail, so I thought, I'll give it another crack at Teen Challenge. 2 days in, I gave my heart back to God, and it was like, just, we're a new creation. It was just awesome. I went to this supernatural conference thing over in Bendigo and just had this love for the supernatural and the love that God shows us and all that sort of stuff. Now, I finished the program end of February last year, and now I'm sort of doing an internship out there. I started doing my first unit at Bible College, and it's just like God's showing me time and time again that I'm not what I used to think I was. I used to think I was worthless, useless, all that sort of stuff that had been sort of drummed into me through a bad relationship with my father. But it's God's just showing me how much he loves me and how much he wants me to work for his kingdom and stuff like that. He's put a burden on my heart to work for youth, or with youth, and sort of just see people that where I've been just come out of that. So next year I'll finish the internship and I'm going to go to Bible College full time, and hopefully, So things are looking up thanks to Teen Challenge. It's like, if I hadn't have gone there, I know exactly where I'd be right now, and it wouldn't be pretty. So thank you all.
Matt, we'd like to present you with a certificate and award for graduation. Thanks, Matt. Great job. All right. So I'll call up some of the graduates as well, and they can receive their... Mark Cornell. Yeah. Awesome. And Mark wasn't asked to speak, but I just wanted just to say just a few words about what's happened with your life and how things have changed.
Thanks, Dave.
That keeps the anxiety down, if I tell you at the last minute. You
know? Cheers. I think one of the a couple of things that came out of the program for me was that my childhood wasn't the best, and I blame myself for it. And to be able to let go of that, that was really good for me. To be able to say that it wasn't my fault for the things that happened in my childhood was a really big release point for me. a word that came through the second half of the program for me was redemption. God redeems. He's the only source of true redemption that this world has, or, you know, we have. And to be able to be made new again and to be able to have a second chance at some of the stuff that I'd given up, like back in early 2000 or mid-2012, a drug and alcohol GP basically gave me 2 years to live on the current lifestyle I was choosing that I'd chosen. And so I'm almost into red time now, so we'll see how it goes. You know, look, life's tough. And for the guy, for me, bad decisions were easy to make. I made bad decisions. I could do it in my sleep. So, but to make good decisions in your life was something entirely new to me. And leaving the program, it was the hardest. The first 6 months out of the program was ridiculously hard because I got a hole in my keys. The first 6 months after leaving the program was really difficult for me because I actually had to make decisions for myself. I had to make those choices that for the preceding 12 months were made for me, but I was sort of educated in. And but, you know, for those who aren't in the program, the things we take for granted are pretty amazing. But for me, you know, even just getting up and not drinking, or getting up and not doing stupid things, or even just getting up some days, you know, they were difficult decisions even coming out of the program. But the program has given me tools to deal with the stuff in my life that I've never dealt with in my life, and I'm dealing with them now, and I'm going to deal with them going forward. But I've got hope, and that's one of the greatest things. I've got all this hope, and, you know, I've decided to stay on at Teen Challenge and help out with their some of their business stuff. And yeah, I'm really excited about all that stuff, and I think it provides Teen Challenge with a sustainable future going forward. And yeah, I can't thank Teen Challenge enough, really. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Bryce Kelly. Job. Fantastic. Thanks, mate. And Bryce has finished his studies in chaplaincy, yes. And looking forward to that for the future. So it's great that God's doing. Murray Sibison. Hiding. Yay. Great job, Murray. Fantastic. Murray's one of the interns as well, and he's doing a great job. So you want to say a little bit of something?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah. I just wanted to honour my friends and family for putting up with me and basically bearing all the heartache, and it's good to see you on the other side. So thank you.
That's awesome. Thanks, mate. Heinz Zarman. Heinz is an awesome man, and he works in the thrift store as well in Kyabram. So he's awesome. Thanks, man, for everything. All right. So just in closing, we've got one more for Shady, but I don't see Shady. Mr. Amro, that's too bad. Shady's a great man. He's doing well. You want to? Yep. All right. Just before, I'm going to call the staff up in just a moment, and I just wanted to mention that to the graduates on there, on those plaques, it says a scripture, Isaiah 40:31. It's a scripture God spoke to my heart when I came into the program, and God really wanted to teach me about rest. I had a lot of anxiety in my life, and Neil talked about David Wilkerson. And my mom grew up, and I've said this last year, she was born and raised in Indian Reservation, Seneca Indians, and in upstate New York. Dave Wilkerson came there and did a lot of rallies in those days, and he sent a bus out with food to get the kids to get on because they were starving, and they came to the rally, and my mom and her twin sister gave their hearts to the Lord. Dave prayed them into salvation at that day, and if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't exist. Literally, because she went home and led all of her 7, 8 brothers and sisters to the Lord, and her mom and aunts and uncles. And then she went to Bible college when she was 18 and met my dad. So I'm really grateful to David. And 48 years later, I entered the Teen Challenge program as a student to recover from 20-plus years of drug and alcohol addiction myself. And, you know, the program, God really spoke to me about anxiety because as a child I'd been abused by 9 different people over 100 times, all in church, all in Christian school, youth groups. And so, not to make it a bad thing, but church is bad, but it was horrible. You know, it really warped my mind about who God was and who we could trust and who really Christians were and weren't. And my brother went through the same thing, and my sister as well. And so it really messed me up. I had so much anxiety inside that I was working just to keep down that fear. And I spent my whole life in addiction and really working to try to cover up all that pain. And God spoke to me. He said, David, if you can learn to rest, if you can actually learn to wait and wait for me, you'll find a source of strength that will lift you above whatever is on this earth into a place where only eagles can soar, and you can see things clearly. And that scripture, Isaiah 40:31, it really helped change my life. And it really still is the thing that God speaks to me and to the graduates, that life is tough. It's really hard. It's not going to be any better because you're a Christian. I mean, God blesses us, but we still have difficulties. And I just want to encourage you that resting in the Lord, waiting on Him is the key to success, and finding Him as your source, and He'll give you that strength that you need. And so I just wanted to call up all the staff, if we could, on stage that are here. We have a few that are away, and but all the men that mentor and support the program, some of these guys have been here for years, and you know, really putting into the program. And I just really want to take an opportunity just to honor everyone Yeah, it's a huge thing to live on the property, and come on across, guys, everyone. Yeah, they do, yeah. You know how hard it is to look after your own family, and you can imagine looking after a bunch of other people that are full of anxiety and fear and really need someone to love them even when they act unlovable, because I certainly did that as well. So every person here really needs that honor.
Thank you. A number of years ago, Don Wilkerson, who was David Wilkerson's brother, who actually took on more of a role of developing the Teen Challenge program over the years than David did. David actually went more into pastoral ministry, and Don took on the development and growth of Teen Challenge. And one of the hallmarks, he said, of a successful Teen Challenge program is that it actually grows its own staff, because it proves it's actually being effective. Not everybody, but nearly everybody that's standing in front of you has a story of God's grace intervening into their life and bringing about that miracle of change. And then, exactly as I read out before, that miracle of fruitfulness where there was barrenness. And most of these people's lives that you're standing in front of you, if you had have seen them a number of years ago before they entered the Teen Challenge program, you wouldn't have given them much show of
of showing anything good and fruitfulness. So I've got to say, I'm very proud of each one of these guys. Each one of them's got an amazing story. We haven't got time to hear them all. Yeah, I'm really proud of them. I love them deeply. And, it's just so amazing to see the hand of grace touch people's lives and to bring about that reality of causing the barren to be fruitful. So, again, let's just honour these guys and thanks, guys. Appreciate it. You can go. As I said, everybody's got their story. And one of the things that we do at Teen Challenge every day is we do a devotional called a SOAP, which means we identify a scripture, we read that scripture out, write out an observation and an application and a prayer, and then each person in the room gets to get up and share what they've actually written. So by the time a guy goes through Teen Challenge, he's had about 400 opportunities to stand up in front of people and speak. So it's not a scary thing anymore. I know that if I just said, has anyone got anything to share, I'd have a bunch of people here ready to go because they're ready to tell their stories. And it's an amazing thing and they're really worth hearing. And again, I'm so proud of each one of you guys. It's a very difficult thing. It's a courageous act to face up to the challenges in your life when it's not working and put your hand up and say, I need help. In the immediate future, we are praying and seeking God to develop a women's centre. We don't work with women at the centre in Kyabram. I closed the women's part of it down when I started there 10 years ago because the magic that happens between girls and guys in recovery is not a necessary thing to have around. So not very helpful. So we decided to work with the men and focus on and establish and consolidate the men's program. And my prayer for years has been, Lord, if you ever want to start a women's program through us, then you better show me what to do because I don't know. In Cambodia earlier this year, I had an opportunity to connect with a group of Teen Challenge leaders from Global Teen Challenge that are responsible for rolling out programs around the world. And I met a lady there, her name's Diane Swanson, that had founded a program in Arizona specifically working with women and their children. And I'd never heard of anything like that before. It prompted me to get on a plane and go and have a look. And I did, and it broke my heart. And I came back feeling like I'd seen something that I wanted to see happen in Australia, but I don't know how to do it, and I still don't. But amazingly, God has pulled together a group through my own daughter who are right now in America visiting the Home of Hope that I visited last in February this year. Lauren put up a thing on Facebook yesterday that she was there and the only comment was, wow. Now, I don't know whether that was, wow, this is going to be too hard or whether this is, wow, this is amazing. I think it was, wow, this is amazing. Could I ask you to, those of you that it's on your, that this kind of stuff touches your heart, to be praying and to back us with your prayer. Because you know what? The reality is that we are in a spiritual war. And one of the things that I learned about when I first went to Bible college was that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. There's a realm in the spirit that we can't see, but it's more real than this world that's around us. And we need to engage. One of the weapons that the Bible talks about is a weapon of prayer. And I ask you to please use that weapon on our behalf when you think of us, to pray for the successful rolling out of a women and children's centre right here in the Yarra Valley. It's expensive, but fortunately God's not broke. He's got lots of money and it's all in your pockets. There are women that contact us regularly every week that need help, that have children involved as well. God's grace is there for them and needs to be extended to them, and it's on our hearts to see God do that and provide for that. And I know he will, I know he can, and it's all in his timing. So please, could you just back us with your prayer, and who knows, what your wallet might follow. But that's where we're at right now. We've got a team of women that are there visiting and doing some basic training and really a vision gathering mission at the moment. And I think when they get back, we're going to have 7 women that have seen what I've seen, and I think there's going to be a fire in the belly that will propel God's purposes forward. I really appreciate the opportunity of being here and sharing this with this church, because as I said, it's 40 years ago this week that my life was intersected by the grace of God, and it's just it's a real privilege and a pleasure to be able to look back on that but to be able to share it with where it all began for me personally. This is not the Neil show, but there are some things in your life that just mean some things to you, and this is one of them for me. And Pastor Roxley, again, I just am so grateful for your life and your faith and your dedication to God and the impact that you've had and the legacy that you leave in people's lives. And I'm so grateful for it. Thank you.